Welcome to a View from 22 podcast special on the resignation of Maria Miller. I'm Sebastian Payne, online editor of The Spectator, and I'm joined this morning by our editor Fraser Nelson, political editor James Forsyth, and our coffee house editor Isabel Hardman. Thank you all for joining at such an early hour. So Maria Miller handed in her resignation this morning. Why did she go now, James?
Well, I think she decided that she had to go before Prime Minister's questions today. David Cameron didn't want to spend half an hour at midday defending her, only for her to end up going in a couple of hours' time. I think also yesterday we saw why she had to go, because the IMF said that Britain was going to grow faster than any G7 economy. And that news was totally obscured by this row over Maria Miller. Her PPS's kind of disastrous appearance on Sky suggested this was all a media witch hunt because of Leveson. It was clear that this story just was not going away. And her quitting was the only way to stop the bleeding.
And Isabel, how much damage do you think has been done by this sort of delay over deciding what's been going on?
Well, I think it's made David Cameron's judgment look a little weak. And I think also actually that the problem with Maria Miller was not just the report into her expenses, it was actually the way that she responded to that report and the way that the Prime Minister allowed her to respond to the report and the way that he responded to it. So her apology in the House of Commons lacked any sense of contrition, while the Prime Minister used the words warm support when describing his stance towards her, which just gave the impression that no one at the top of government had any idea how this would look to ordinary voters. I think also for David Cameron to sort of stand by her as things got worse, he didn't need to make her resign to begin with, but some sense that this was a serious matter probably would have stopped the row from becoming quite so toxic.
And Fraser Nelson, how major-esque do you think it was for Number 10 to invest so much political capital into Maria Miller and then having to back down?
Of course, David Cameron learned his political trade with John Major, and I think some of that Major mentality was clicking in. He didn't see this as a problem with the public. He saw it as an arm wrestle with the media. I'm not going to let the press decide who goes in my cabinet. You can see the general idea. And this is a very different David Cameron to the one who 5 years ago immediately realised the potency of expenses scandals and how badly it went down with the public. And he seems to have lost that judgment which he exhibited so well 5 years ago. And the tragedy is, had Number 10 thought about this, had he been advised by somebody who could tell him how this was going to work politically, so much of this could have been avoided. And I've spoken to senior MPs who've been amazed at the lack of direction from Number 10. Either you keep the minister or you mount a proper operation. Sorry, either you drop her or you mount a proper operation to defend her. And Number 10 did neither.
James, it is quite extraordinary given how well David Cameron responded to the expenses scandal in 2009. Why didn't he recognise how potent the Miller situation was?
Well, because it's a kind of legacy issue. This isn't, and it also, the other thing about Maria Miller is this is not a straightforward case of fraud. The commissioner cleared her of initially setting out the commissioner cleared her of any intent to diddle the taxpayer. So I think that's kind of one of the reasons they didn't quite get it. I think they also, as Fraser says, the Downing Street mentality here was that Maria Miller is one of the cabinet. We're going to defend her. We're going to support her. And then, as Isabel says, though, that became untenable because her apology was so graceless that it appeared to kind of ramp the issue right up again. I think one of the other things that she shows here is this: is she's never understood that this was essentially a political problem she had. All of her correspondence is very legalistic. You know, she hires a lawyer. She acts as if her problem is essentially a legal problem. If she wanted to remain in the cabinet, the problem over her expenses was essentially a political one.
But one of the things that's extraordinary, Fraser, looking at her resignation letter, it still comes back to Leveson. She's blaming it for that. Do you think she's still really got her head around why she had to resign?
Look, I think it's quite normal that ministers who are forced out believe that they are victims of a kind of witch hunt. It's a sort of typical part of the psychology of it. Of course, the first person to make a link between Maria Miller's expenses and Leveson was her special advisor, who warned the Daily Telegraph off investigating her because the minister was deciding the fate of the press. I don't think that washes. I mean, anybody who would get into a similar trouble, Tony McNulty, had to quit as a minister when he was in a situation very comparable to Maria Miller's, and Leveson wasn't a factor there. So I do think it's a rather weak excuse to play. And again, had she been properly advised, she wouldn't have played that card. She would have made a proper apology. I mean, had somebody been thinking this through, all of these little mistakes that led up to this hugely embarrassing point could have been avoided. If she was going to go, she should have gone right at the first, and David Cameron might have claimed credit for dealing decisively with this kind of thing. Instead, their minds seem to have been elsewhere.
Also, there are other ministers who are strongly associated with Leveson, such as Oliver Letwin, who haven't had problems with their expenses and therefore aren't having to resign.
I think one thing about Maria Miller is when you talk to people and they try to explain, you know, the apology was so short because she couldn't have remained composed for that much longer. She can't go out to do TV interviews because it's difficult. You do realise at some point she is a cabinet minister. She is a senior member of the government, and people seem to be able to excuse her actions by saying that she can't do some of the basic craft of being a politician. If you can't do that, you're not up to the job.
Fraser, do you think her hand was forced by David Cameron to any extent?
I don't know. I mean, I doubt it, because having stood by her, David Cameron couldn't very well drop her. It doesn't seem as if David Cameron said, right, you've got to go. I think she would have probably bowed to what had become the inevitable. The timing, though, might have been David Cameron's. He might have said, look, if you're deciding this, then please let's get it done before Prime Minister's questions. As Isabel will know, that's quite important.
Yeah. And on the topic of PMQs, Isabel, it's going to be a bit of a stormy one today, I imagine.
Well, it will be interesting to see whether Ed Miliband thinks that it's still worth talking about what happened with Maria Miller, or whether he's feverishly trying to rewrite all of his questions today. The thing is David Cameron does have quite a lot of good things to talk about, as we said at the start of this podcast. He can talk about the fact the IMF has upgraded Britain's growth forecast so that we're the fastest growing economy. He's got a lot to throw at Ed Miliband, and I suppose this goes back to exposing Ed Miliband rather than leaving Ed Miliband with quite an open goal.
And I suspect that Ed Miliband today, he's going to throw his weight behind some shake-up of the expenses system that enables him to pose, much as Cameron did in opposition, as the leader prepared to kind of clean out the Augean stables, to kind of come up with a clean system. And I think he will try and bounce Cameron into saying there and then in the chamber whether he agrees with him or not.
Isabel, there's been quite a lot of talk of actually even getting rid of the culture department. Do you think there's any chance of that happening, or who could Cameron be getting lined up to replace Maria?
I think the talk of getting rid of the culture department is probably wishful thinking. I think that would be quite a big response today. But I suppose there are quite a few ministers who could step into Maria Miller's shoes, who have a really good chance of performing well. He could promote Nicky Morgan from the Treasury, or I suppose if he's looking for a mother to replace the only mother in Cabinet, he could promote Liz Truss from Education, as she has children. He could also bump up Priti Patel into a junior ministerial role for another minister to rise into Maria Miller's position, and giving Priti Patel a promotion from the number 10 policy board would be quite a good nod to the Eurosceptic right in the Conservative Party.
And finally, do you think what, I just wanted to ask you, or do you think, what was it that Fanny made her have to go? Was it lack of support from her peers? Was it the public? Or what do you think it was?
I would say it was both of those, plus the fact that we're now on day 12 or whatever. I mean, as Alistair Campbell's old rule says, after 10 days of a story still going, then something will have to give, usually the minister.
I think it was the fact, as Fraser says, the fact that this story was not going away. I think that she, with her kind of failure to properly apologise, she missed the chance to kind of nip the story in the bud. And it was only going to grow and only going to continue to distract from what the government was doing. And that made her departure inevitable.
I think it was also that MPs going back to their constituencies for recess would not have helped matters. Rather than being in the Westminster bubble, they would have spent 2 weeks talking to angry voters who'd be saying things like, oh, are you going to put that on expenses then? And that kind of thing, which would have just left them angrier about the situation.
Thank you very much for joining. We'll be following this story all day today on Coffeehouse, spectator.co.uk/coffeehouse, and we'll be discussing this on our regular View from 22 podcast. Thank you very much for joining.